This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello.
And Bridget, we've got a number of things happening right now. Probably a lot of our listeners have received a letter from Catholic Radio, and that is kind of our annual summertime letter. And this year is a little bit different for all charities, not-for-profit groups. Summertime is always slow just because people are away on vacations, that sort of thing, and doing things other than what they normally do throughout most of the year. Now, this year, we have to kind of compound that with the coronavirus, stay-at-home, you know, all of the things that we're all going through there, which have had an effect on donations as well. So what I guess I'm asking, Catholic Radio is listener-supported, and if you got a letter and have already responded to it, I want to thank you very much. If you have a letter and maybe you've set it aside thinking, well, maybe I'll do something a little bit later on with that, that's fine. But if you can help us out with a gift at this point, that would be great. And if you didn't get a letter, that's only because you're not in our database, but you can go online to CatholicRadioIndy.org, CatholicRadioIndy.org, and make a donation there as well. It would certainly help us out a whole bunch. I want to remind you of something fun coming up. Our annual dinner isn't going to happen this year because of the virus, but we're going to have a week-long online auction, and the auction is going to be a lot of fun. We've got a lot of items. We've got 50-some items already.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And if you've got something that you'd like to donate, especially a larger item, we could use some larger items, you know, maybe a week in a condo or something really spectacular that would generate some funds for Catholic Radio, please give us a call, and we'd be happy to talk to you about it. Our number is 317-870-8400, 317-870-8400. So we'll tell you about the auction more as it comes up, and you can bid on things as many times as you like, and you can tell, you know, all your friends about it. They can bid on it all over the world because it's going to be online.
Yeah, that's going to be really super cool. Well, today we have a great show lined up for you, and we're going to be talking about optimal living, and we're talking with, I'm going to see if I get this right, certified care manager and aging life care professional. Our guest today is Sydney Eisgruber. So thank you so much for being our guest today, Sydney. Welcome to Faith in Action.
Thanks for having me, and congratulations for celebrating your 15 years on the air. That's pretty exciting.
It is really exciting, and I try to share that with our guests, and it is really exciting, and it's really all God. So you know how that is. We're actually doing this. Jim and I are in the studio, but we're doing this via Zoom as well, and we can see Sydney's background, and she obviously is a very solid Catholic with all of her beautiful artwork behind her. I can see that. So, well, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, your family, and I understand you're also a transplant to Indianapolis.
Well, yes and no. So growing up, my dad was in the Navy and the FBI, so we moved around quite a bit. And really settled in Lebanon, Indiana, in the fifth grade. So I look at Lebanon as my hometown.
Okay.
And so lived there for quite a while, went to Indiana University, graduated there, and then took my first job in West Virginia for a year, and then headed to the West Coast. And practiced occupational therapy on the coast. And then actually moved back to Indianapolis and married. And so now we're here, back home in Indiana. Always wanted to raise a family here. Indiana's a fabulous place.
It really is. And you are parishioners at Immaculate Heart of Mary. Is that where you, that's where you worship there?
Yes, it is.
And Sydney, where is Immaculate Heart of Mary? I should know that. I probably can attend a Mass at a time or two over the years, but I just can't think of where that is.
Sure. It's like 57th and Central.
Okay. All right.
In the Meridian Kessler neighborhood.
Oh, I have attended Mass there. I surely have. So, okay. Well, thank you for sharing that.
So tell us, so you mentioned a little bit about the your medical background. You're actually a licensed occupational therapist and prior to starting out at Optimal Living. So tell us a little bit about that, and then what is Optimal Living and what do you do exactly?
Sure. Well, and just to back up a bit, in high school, one of my summer jobs was being a nurse's aide, mm-hmm. and that's kind of how I got into more of the medical field. And I loved that job. I mean, there's some things about it that aren't very appealing, you know, but I love the actual caring for people. So that's kind of what got me started more in the medical field. And then I went to IU, and I was actually started out as a business major and just found that studying, I did some volunteer work and noted speech pathologists and occupational therapy folks working at Crossroads Rehabilitation Center, and it hit me. I thought, that's really what I want to do. So I switched my major, became an occupational therapist. It took me 1 year longer because I switched my major. And so I've been practicing OT for over 30 years, and mainly in the geriatric long-term care setting.
Mm-hmm.
And and while in California, I also did per diem work on the weekend. So it gave me a variety of different facilities to work in with different clients. So I loved educating myself that way. So in terms of Optimal Living, a few years ago, I had learned about care management, and I really liked that aspect of caring for the person as a whole, not just in their functional mobility and ability area. So I...
Which is what, for those who don't know what an occupational therapist is, you really are working with those very specific things of just their mobility and their ability to move their hands and their body and kind of get that all coordinated together. So you're talking about not just doing that one aspect, but the whole person, right?
Yeah, and just when you talk about occupational therapy, everyone seems to be aware of what a physical therapist is and does.
Mm-hmm.
They work on the gross motor, more of the legs. They'll work on the arms as well. The OT is really creative. We look at fine motor coordination, upper body, functional transfers. How do you get to the toilet safely? How do you take a shower safely? And ADLs is a huge focus. That stands for activities of daily living. So mm-hmm. before you guys got to the radio this morning, you brushed your teeth, you got dressed, you put on a necklace. If you can't do those things, how do we get you the strength and the coordination and the cognitive ability to be able to coordinate that every day? So I love it because it also involves the psychological and cognitive components of care. So they really look at the whole person, and OT allows you to be real creative. So we might not just, lift up weights. We might think, well, if you're weak in the arm and you have cognitive problems, let's set up a puzzle and let's put it on the wall so you're doing something creative and you're also getting strength and coordination in your arms, and in the end you really don't realize you're working hard. So it's a real creative area to be in.
So tell us then a little bit about you're a certified care manager and aging life care professional. What exactly do you do then with Optimal Living?
Sure. And just to let you know, there's a lot of care managers out there. Sometimes they're called case managers.
Mm-hmm.
I am a member of the Aging Life Care Association.
Mm-hmm.
And the Aging Life Care Association is trying to get away from certified care management and calling folks aging life care professionals. So they're trying to kind of change the name of care managers as aging life care professionals. So on my business card, it'll say both.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to help them also transition with kind of a new name. But so through the Aging Life Care Association. I'm certified through the National Association of Certified Care Managers. In the state of Indiana, care managers do not have to be certified. But I thought it was very important for me to become certified and to kind of have be a member of the Aging Life Care Association. With that, you know, I get a listserv. I have many people throughout the United States that I can call or text or email with maybe issues that I might have with a client. And I'm also answering emails from other people of, you know, maybe problems they've had. So that's kind of to tell you about the name. Now let's talk about what we do. That was a question, right?
Yeah, it was. I knew you were getting there. I knew you were getting there.
Yeah. I wanted to explain that just so folks know. But we plan and coordinate care for the elderly. That's what I do in my role. And Optimal Living is the name of my company. And I want to maximize independence, and I want to optimize the quality of life for folks that I'm working with and meet their long-term needs. So I'm kind of, you could say, I don't want to say rent a daughter, mm-hmm. but many of my clients, their kids are out of town, mm-hmm. or they're working full-time, or they have no idea how to navigate the medical field. So they will hire me to kind of be their daughter, go mm-hmm. to appointments. What is the doctor saying? You know, what does this mean? Are the medications right? Do we need to change them? Do they need therapy? And so I will attend doctor's appointments and, you know, send an email to the family and let them know what I got out of that appointment and what we should do from there. So it all begins with an assessment. I will assess people very thoroughly.
Now, does that process normally start with someone contacting you and saying, gee, I think I might need this service? Or does it start with somebody saying, gee, I think my mother or my dad might need this service? Or a doctor contacting you? Where does it start?
That's an excellent question. I wish the former would happen. I've only had one person call me that was, maybe 55, 60, saying, hey, my husband and I have learned about this, and we want to be assessed for this. But the rest of the clients I get are kids who call and say, listen, my mom has fallen 6 times in the last month. She lives at home. I'm afraid, you know, she's going to break a hip. So those are really the calls we get from kids who realize that their parents are having problems.
We're going to take a break here, but I know there's something really important that we want to talk about when we come back, and that is what you touched on a little bit, crisis, when people call in a crisis versus prevention. And so we're going to talk about that when we come back, so stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio, and we're talking with our guest, Sydney. I'm going to get your name right. Eisgerber. Sydney Eisgerber, she is a certified care manager / aging life care professional, and we're talking about her company, Optimal Living. She is a trained occupational therapist, and I want to, before the break, I teased and said we were going to talk about crisis management versus, or prevention versus crisis management, but I want to get to this other question. What sets you apart as a certified care manager as being an occupational therapist versus being a nurse or being a social worker?
Sure. Well, I think the fact that I'm certified is important because many, like I said, in the state of Indiana, they're not required. So it just shows maybe a little more education and thought behind it. And not to say there are wonderful care managers that aren't certified. But I think many care managers are social workers and nurses, and they bring so much to the table. I'm an occupational therapist, and there are fewer therapists that have taken on this role. And I think what sets that apart is I come into a room or a home and I look at things functionally, and I think there's an underutilization of therapy services. I think there are so many people that are not receiving therapy that should be. And I think if they were, I think we'd see less falls, and I think we'd see more functional ability to maintain strength in cognitive areas. So that's what I love about being an OT, is the way I view functional aspects of care.
Now, when you're talking about your services to a client, is it normally a one-time thing or a short-term thing, or is it a for the rest of your life type of thing?
You know what? It varies. I've had some short-term experiences where someone wanted me to evaluate someone and then tell them what to do, so I would leave them recommendations. Some people would pick and choose the recommendations and ask me to do a few. And then, yes, I have a few clients that are long-term clients where I will work with the families and see them every 2 weeks and kind of be the main point of contact with what's going on with their care. So it does vary.
So let's talk a little bit about prevention versus crisis management as it relates to what you do and how you get your clients.
Sure.
You obviously want to work on the prevention side, because there's a lot of things that you'd mentioned. If people got certain therapy, they could have a lot of things be prevented that could harm them in the long run.
Right. I think the bottom line is education, trying to get doctors, insurance companies, folks that work in businesses that have this service available for them and their family members. A lot of people don't know about care management, and I think if we educated people, that would be helpful. If we, in an ideal world, I would love to see someone who's, you know, living at home independently or in an assisted living or independent facility, and I would visit them, do an assessment once, you know, I do a one-time assessment, and then either visit them quarterly, yearly, every other week. And then that would allow me to have communication and have my eyes on them to see if they're, you know, having a fall or getting weaker. And then we can get those services. Anytime there's been a change in condition or a function with someone, we can order home health therapy, get the therapist in there, have them strengthen a leg, and then give them an exercise program. And then the nurses or a companion caregiver can help them with those exercises, maintain their strength and their functional mobility, so they're not having those falls. So in an ideal world, the preventive care is an area that I am so interested in and I'm excited about, and I would love to educate people about that, because I think in terms of cost savings, it's right there.
Well, as you mentioned costs and cost savings, I'm curious, are your services covered by insurance, or how are people paying for care managers, or how does all that work?
Sure. In my business, I am a private. I take private pay. Some long-term care insurances will cover care managers. Sometimes they want them to be social workers. Sometimes they say you have to have 3 employees. So if I have a client that needs that covered with long-term care insurance, you know, if they give me paperwork that I need to fill out, I'm happy to do that to help them. But Medicare does not cover this service. And I would love to eventually lobby or do something to help educate our government so they know how important this is in terms of cost savings in the long run.
Absolutely. So what is it like, I guess I want to ask you, what's it been like for you in terms of your faith life? How has this impacted your faith, like being a care manager for people? What's it been like for you?
Sure. You know, I think hope, the word hope is very important. You know, I've worked with a terminally ill client before, and, you know, they're terminal. And how do you give them hope? Well, you want to maximize their quality of life. You know, do they want to see their friends twice a week? Do they want to have their friends bring in a meal twice a week? do they want to have a book club? What can we do to give them hope and maximize the quality of their life? So that's where I think my Catholicism has been very helpful. I believe in the power of prayer. Am I praying with everyone? No, but I feel like it's appropriate and they would be comfortable with it and it's soothing to them, but I've offered that before.
Jim, you had a question? he had his hand up.
I did have a question, but I don't anymore. I lost it.
He lost the question. So how do you find your clients? How do you find your clients?
Sure. The Aging Life Care Association has been a fabulous organization. Again, I have clients whose kids live all around, you know, the United States, and they find me through the website. And their doctors might say, hey, check out this website, or they've heard from someone else who's used an aging life care professional, and they've had wonderful luck with them. The other thing is word of mouth. So, you know, I've worked with neighbors, and then they tell their friends. But it's kind of neat because I've gotten calls where they say, oh, my gosh, I heard about your services. My brother's mom had used those services in New York City and swore by them. So, you know, the fact that that's in Indiana, I want to know more about it.
What are some of the biggest misconceptions that people have about your industry? They say, oh, I would never do that because what are some of the things that keep them from accessing your services?
I would say maybe cost. Unfortunately, not everyone can afford our services. And that is a frustration for me. Again, I wish Medicare would cover that. I wished, you know, more insurances would cover this because, again, it's cost savings. So I understand the whole cost thing. So I would say that would be one thing. That would be the main thing.
How soon can people, we have about 4 minutes left, how soon should people contact you, or when should people contact you? You said you mentioned something about people in their 50s saying, should they get an assessment, or you get what I'm saying? I mean, people do start losing strength and that kind of thing. I mean, is there kind of a hard, fast rule that you have in terms of when people should start getting an assessment and, you know, you get what my question is?
Absolutely. Yesterday. No. I don't think there's a... I think educating yourself. One of the first things I would recommend, too, with clients is, do they have an elder law attorney? I think figuring out finances. And look at your future. Maybe you're 50, maybe you're 60, maybe you're 70. But that's one of the first things I recommend is, do you have an elder law attorney? You know, do you have... things that you need that are set up for, you know, a hospitalization if it were to occur in terms of legalities. But, yeah, I think it's smart to just know about what I'm talking about now. And then you start going to the website and you learn about these services. Don't wait till you're 80. You know, if you have parents that are in good health now, what a great time to do an assessment. It could be a mini assessment. And then we kind of tuck that in our file. And then we say, you know, let's visit you, you know, once a year. So especially maybe if you're feeling like you're getting older or having some problems, I can't put a time on it. Sooner versus later.
One thing that you did mention that, like, if someone has an assessment and then you realize maybe that they've lost some of their balance, you know, or maybe they've lost some of their strength, you as an occupational therapist can suggest and maybe even refer them to get some type of therapy to strengthen or to help them with their balance so that they don't fall. So that's the kind of, those are the kinds of things that you can kind of head off early with, as just one example. What are some other things that you could head off that you've noticed in your work?
Sure. I think being a resource to people, letting them know about organizations in the community, Sokoa, Oasis, places where they can get help and get educated, and so I would say that, and maybe they need a psychologist, or they're struggling with something. Mm-hmm. So kind of a resource of a file cabinet filled with resources. Maybe someone is well, and they want to go to the opera, but they can't get there, they don't know how to do it. Well, let's help them get to the opera, so they improve their quality of life, and have a wonderful time. So that's kind of what we look at.
Now, how long does an assessment take? Do you go into someone's home and does it take 15 minutes or does it take a couple of hours? How long does an assessment take?
Sure. I would say I usually allow 2 hours because I'm really detailed.
Okay.
And during the assessment, do you mainly ask questions? Is it back simply asking questions or do you ask people to demonstrate skills and things?
You know, I usually ask questions. I had a lady once show me how she carries a laundry basket to her laundry, and I'm glad she did that because she tripped. And normally she said, oh, I do my laundry by myself, and she said, let me show you. Well, she does it by herself, but there's a tripping hazard. So I like to look at everything. I usually like to go to all the bedrooms. You know, I've gone to places where there's laundry piled up. I would have never known that had I not gone there, or open up a drawer and see, you know, 50 containers of medication. So OT in this job, you have to have a lot of good observational skills. You've got to ask a lot of questions. And that's how I think a great assessment is completed.
Let's get people your website so that people can know where to go to get more information. And you might want to just mention a couple things that are there. You mentioned some learning opportunities there too.
Sure. So I'm at optimallivingindy.com. OPTIMALLIVINGindy.com. And on there, you can leave information, and I would get a hold of you that way. You can also email me at Sydney@optimallivingindy.com.
Well, Sydney, you've given us a lot to think about here, and I hope you'll get some calls. I know I'm really interested in this topic. My husband actually works for Sequoia, so I'm learning a lot more about this area. So thank you so much, Sydney Eisgerber, Optimal Living Certified Care Manager and /Aging Life Care Professional. Thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith in Action.
Thanks for having me.
God bless you. We wish you well.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.